Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Five, four, three, two, one. Hey guys, welcome back to Dudes Behind the Foods. I'm Tim Chantharongsu.
And I am your North Korean leader, David So.
Oh, damn, he said kiss the ring. Kiss. Oh, you have it on your wedding finger and hand.
Oh, is it? Oh, that's right. It's supposed to be on the left hand, huh?
Left hand, yeah. Wow, look at you.
I didn't have any food this morning, so I'm starving, and the only thing they have in the studio is a bunch of fucking ring pops, baby.
Well, you know what? David, you know, we kind of talked about maybe let's have a little something to drink this episode. So David brought some soju. I actually have a case of this at home as well.
This is the potato spirit of choice for all Korean people. If you have a Korean friend and they drink and they've never invited you out to have some soju, they don't fuck with you.
Is soju from potatoes?
Yeah, it's like a form. It's like vodka.
Oh.
It's a borado.
Yes, borado.
It's borado. This right here, apparently, soju is cheaper than water in Korea.
Wow, I've heard that.
Yeah, that's how much Korean people drink. We drink that much.
And well, I mean, it's probably like so cheap to get soju, and then, you know, water's getting so expensive nowadays, you know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you something, this ring pop's fire. What flavor is this?
Is it? Damn, let me get a ring pop.
It's a tropical very berry punch. This one is fucking...
Let me give y'all a little ASMR, hold on, to start this episode off. Hold on.
Oh.
I promise you, sound guy is like jizzing his pants right now. It feels so great.
Dude, the ASMR stuff... I watch that shit every night to fall asleep.
Do you really?
So the one ASMR stuff that I watch is chiropractic back cracks.
Interesting.
Have you not seen those videos?
I've probably come across it.
Look up compilations. It's one of my favorite things to fall asleep to. And it's just people cracking each other's backs.
Oh, wow.
And every now and then, you'll see a very hot lady get her back cracked, mm-hmm. and then they'll twist her. And then I get a boner, and then I switch off to chiropractic, and I go right back to porn, and I come back to chiro.
Yeah, the massage porn. I watch a lot of that, actually.
Okay, I don't.
No? Wait, hold on. Let me get some ASMR real quick.
Nobody eats a ring pop like that. Nobody eats a ring pop like that ever.
I'm trying to ASMR it up.
Like, what's he eating, dude? What the fuck is that?
Like a turtle trying to eat like just peanut butter off of a stick.
You know, when I was a kid, These are the candies that I always wanted, but I never got to have.
Why?
My parents wouldn't buy it for me.
Huh.
They wouldn't buy me candy and shit. But for some reason, I was hella fat.
Carbs, man.
Yeah. Don't eat candy. Just eat rice.
I also wasn't allowed to eat a lot of candy growing up. And if my parents ever like let me have a piece of chocolate, I had to brush my teeth immediately afterwards because they were afraid of me getting cavities.
Did you ever have cavities?
3 cavities my whole life.
I had 2 cavities only 2 years ago were my first cavities.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
And I was asking my dentist was like going in because I switched dentists and they're like, you haven't had cavities. I was like, no, I haven't. And you know, in my 30s. And they're like, that's very rare that somebody at your age wouldn't have a single cavity.
Mm-hmm.
And then lo and behold, a year later, I started drinking a lot of soda. Mm-hmm. And apparently that started fucking up with like the enamel in my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Got my first 2 cavities. And they're like, you got cavities. I was like, what have you been doing differently? I'm like, I've been drinking a lot of soda.
Damn.
And that's what happens. Because I didn't drink soda as a kid. I didn't eat a lot of candy. None of that shit.
I drank a lot of soda as a kid. And I'll tell you what turned me off from soda initially as a little kid. You ever watch Beakman's World?
Yes.
Okay, so there was an episode of Beakman's World where they took a chicken bone, right? They soaked it in Coke overnight.
And it dissolved.
No, it didn't dissolve, but he took it out of the Coke and he could wobble it around like it was like rubber. It was crazy. And he was like, yo, this is what could happen to your teeth, right? And I was like, oh, shit. All right, I'm a chill on a soda. I still drank soda on occasion. But the main thing that got me off soda completely is, hold on a second. I had braces, right, for 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And my orthodontist told me, she was like, yo, if you really want to help speed up this process, then you got to stop drinking soda because, you know, the stronger your teeth are, the more like the more they'll take to the braces and it'll be easier for your teeth to move around. And like, don't drink soda. So I didn't drink soda for 2.5 years. I was only drinking lemonade. And from that point on, I was just kind of off soda. You know what I'm saying?
You don't drink a lot of soda even now. I don't see you drink much soda at all.
Rarely. I'll drink soda on occasion if I really want to have like a Jack and Coke or a Jameson ginger ale.
But see, you always have to have soda with burgers or pizza though.
Not me, dog.
And that's why you're a piece of shit. Well, really? You don't crave a fucking like Coke when you have a burger or a pizza?
I used to. You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt like, you know, like a Coke with a cheeseburger or a slice of pizza, it's just, you know, it goes so well, right? Especially, bro, I was a big, like, chew on the burger. And then while I'm still chewing on the burger, take a sip of my soda. Yeah. I loved that. But then once I got off it during the braces years, it just, I never really had a...
But
like,
you don't feel like you need that bubbly soda to wash that fatty burger
no,
down?
No, goddammit!
Then what the fuck do you drink?
Lemonade.
Okay.
Or a little juice.
That's why you're a loser. Well, speaking of, let's have ourselves a little Jinro Chamisu. Fresh, by the way. And a little Ring Pop ASMR.
Ooh, give you some. Hey, it's right here too.
Oh, there you go. Oh, yeah. This is going to get a million views.
They're going to love it.
And then talk about your hysterectomy. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. That probably sounded so good.
There's people who make a shit ton of money off of ASMR
stuff. Oh, hell yeah. Okay, so massage porn. It's great. Like, I'll watch, so it depends on what I'm in the mood for, right? Sometimes I'm like, oh, okay, I want to watch, and of course it's all fake, but it's like, I want to watch a woman go get a massage, and then all of a sudden, uh-oh, it gets a little inappropriate. Uh-oh, his finger slipped. Oh, no, now she's on the table. There's a penis in her face. What is she going to do? Suck it, of course. Next thing you know, they're smashing on the table.
There's one that I know that always pops up in the porn section. Yeah. There's always like a blue wall. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think
it's old. It's like one of the first ones ever, but there's always a blue wall and then different girls every time.
Oh, yes. And they always get super like oiled up.
Yes.
And there's like a couple plants.
And
in
it's
the room.
Always the prettiest porn stars too.
Oh, God.
That are on that one. They're always the prettiest.
So I like that. Or sometimes I'm in the mood for the reversal. And when like a dude's getting a massage and he's getting getting jacked off, and it's like, and then the girl's like, oh shit, this girl's naughty. This masseuse is naughty. She's taking it there. And then, uh-oh, her finger slipped.
And she goes inside the penis. And he screams.
Got a pinky in your pee hole. What you gonna do?
I'm okay. No more, please.
Oh, cheers to that.
Yes. Oh, for those people out there who drink soju, this is what a lot of guys do for the ladies. A lot of ladies out there who don't like the taste of alcohol, but like to get a little crazy, like to get a little loosened up. If you squeeze a little fresh lemon inside soju, you can't taste the alcohol at all.
Oh, really?
I shit you not. Would you like one?
I will take one.
It actually tastes like a flavor drink.
What?
A flavor drink.
A flavor drink.
It'll taste like your wanted lemonade. It tastes like lemonade.
Interesting. Okay, well, also, here, all right. Well, let's take a little sip. Let's cheers.
Cheers. Watch this, Tim. You'll be amazed.
Okay. Oh, it just tastes like lemon water.
All right. Well, experiment fail. But it tastes, there's like not much alcohol taste after it.
No. I'm saying I don't taste alcohol.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. So a lot of girls like to get crazy with soju by having a little bit of lemon in. And if it's ice cold, you can't taste it at all.
Hold on, let me give you some of that ASMR real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's delightful.
I heard about this thing on Twitch where girls will just like do what you did, where they just scrape the mic. Mm-hmm. And they talk really quiet, and they make millions of dollars.
Bro, you know what? Okay, so look, I used to think ASMR was so weird until I was like, what is this shit, right? And I put it on, and I fell asleep. I was so relaxed, and it was just like something as simple as, you know, they put like, did the jack off hands, but that's not what I'm talking about. They take like the peas and they put it in the jar, and they just kind of like make that noise. They jiggle they jingle the whatever's in the jar, or they'll like scrape their nails against the whatever, and it's like, it's so nice.
It's kind of, I want to do an ASMR channel where I just play Kim Jong Un and I just fucking threaten you the whole time. I see if people fall asleep to that shit.
Interesting. Well, let me get another lemon actually.
Oh.
Give you some lemon ASMR just while we're here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And take this here. And then we're just gonna.
Did you just fucking eat a lemon?
Here you go.
Wow. I'm thoroughly impressed that you fucking just ate a lemon. Can you just eat lemons like that?
It's not something I normally do. But,
I hope not.
But, I grew up just really loving sour food, sour candy. Like my mom, when she was younger, and she would be like at the restaurant, just juicing a bunch of lemons. Mm-hmm. Or even at home when she, you know, when I was really young and she's just making whatever. She would take a spoon, scoop up the lemon pulp from the juicer, and just feed it to me.
You know, I just realized this is a sidetrack. There are certain things that you have that you wear that if I wore, I would look really stupid. Like, those fucking glasses of yours. Like, if I wore that, I would just look like a fucking fat weirdo with weird glasses.
You know, the beauty of having your own show is that, like, because I wouldn't normally just wear these, like, out and about.
Oh, 100%.
But that's what's great about shit like this. It's like, you can put on, like, goofier things, you know? And then plus, when I'm making a point, like, actually, I used to eat lemon pulp all the time.
That's the only reason. Let me tell you something. I've traveled with this dude now for 5 years. You want to talk about a guy that sees something stupid and just buys it immediately? It's this motherfucker right here. Anytime he sees something that just sparks his interest a little bit, he goes, I got to get that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, you fucking don't.
Well, who knows when I'll be back in this city again?
Anytime we travel, without fail, he's going to buy a hat.
Yeah?
Without fail. And so it's the most ridiculous hat sometimes, too. It's like, dude, I'm in fucking Wichita, Kansas. I fuck with Wichita.
When would I ever have the opportunity to get this hat again?
Amazon.
Well, yeah, but there's no story behind that. I wanna go to Belize and buy the hat that says, it's unbelievable. And then people are going to be like, oh, where'd you get that fucking unbelievable hat? I'm like, Belize, bro.
There are people that you meet on this space on YouTube that you know that they just do weird shit just because it's entertaining. He just does. There's no camera. It's just him. He'd just be like, bro, you want some Raisinets? I'm like, nobody has ever asked me that in my life. Am I down for some fucking Raisinets?
I like to live my life without regrets, okay? And if I'm walking by a hat in, like, I don't know, in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and there's a hat that says, yo, I cheese Oshkosh, Wisconsin, I'm going to get that shit.
Let me ask you something. When was the first time you ever got drunk?
I'll tell you right now, David. So
I need to know this.
Because this is a great story. You know how a lot of people, you start drinking in high school, right? Mm-hmm. House parties, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You start drinking with your homies. My senior year is the first time I got drunk. And it was prom night. After I won prom king.
Oh, you drank a little later.
Yes. I was 18. 17, 18. Where, you know, a lot of kids were drinking at house parties, like, I don't know, 15, 16, right? I was probably around 17, 18, and it was prom night. I was prom king, so I was like, gotta celebrate, you know? So we bought a bottle of the bottom shelf vodka. It's called Popov.
The worst.
Disgusting.
The worst.
When people say alcohol, like, tastes like rubbing alcohol. This shit smelled and tastes like rubbing alcohol.
Comrade Popov.
Yes, bro. You already know. Mm-hmm. So it's bottom shelf for like, you can get a big old handle of that shit for like $2.
And it comes in like the thinnest plastic bottle you've ever seen.
Yes, it's a bottle that when it falls, it goes king, like a fucking crystal geyser bottle, yeah. Right? So
it starts speaking Thai.
Ding, 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 is when it hits the ground. So we bought a bottle of that shit, took it to a little hotel. I was super, you know, and I'm at first taking shots of it, like, ugh, we celebrating. But it was one of those situations where by like a couple hours later, I'm chugging it like water. You know what I'm saying? So I'm so drunk. And, you know, I black out, of course, don't really remember shit. I also remember a friend of a friend, like, there was a girl there, and I kept asking her for head, because I was so drunk. And I kept, but confidently, though, like, yeah. Hey, you should just give me some dope. Give me some dope. I won prom king. You should give me some dope to celebrate, right? I didn't even know about this till the next day they told me about it. I felt like such an asshole, because even, like, that night when I, like, passed out drunk, she fucking put the blanket on me. Yeah, bro. I was such a little, like, a douche, right?
She was like, I would have, but you fell asleep.
And also, there's pictures of me, like, on the ground, covered in, like, cheeseburgers and sauce packets, because they ordered a shitload of Jack in the Box, and I'm passed out drunk, and I had like I put cheeseburgers on my nipples, and then the homies were like just throwing fries and sauce packets at me.
Of course. why did you drink so late?
Like, why didn't I drink
earlier?
I think, you know, I was just kind of like
I say late even though it was under the age. Yeah.
I was like, I think I was just being a good boy. And I didn't go to a whole lot of parties, you know, because the first high school party I remember going to freshman year, I was just trying to like grind on my little girlfriend at the time. I wasn't drinking. I wasn't doing no drugs. And then when I started going to more parties at Paramount, that's when people were really drinking more. But I still just wasn't trying to drink. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, no, I'm good. I was trying to be good, you know. Yeah, I'll go to house parties and I'll just kind of dance, have a good time.
And the prom was like, you know what? Everybody's fucking doing it. I'm graduating. I might as well just fucking do this now.
Yeah, I won prom king, so I was like, I need to celebrate. You know,
I think the first time that I remember, I guess like getting drunk per se, was like, I think it was 13.
Really?
Yeah, so my cousin, piece of shit, this guy, when it's a classic story of going into your dad's liquor cabinet, and he gets the first hard liquor that I ever tasted was Remy Martin.
Mm-hmm. So Asian.
Yep, so he took the Remy
Asian?
Martin. Yes. It was my cousin.
Oh, right.
God damn it. Like, actually, he's white. But he took the Remy Martin, put into this crystal geyser water bottle, dumped it in there, filled it up with water. That shit. Take it in. I don't know what the fuck this is, right? And you know what the weird thing is? Like, even when he gave it to me, it wasn't processing in my head that it was alcohol. It was like, oh, this is the Remy that my dad has. Mm. But it wasn't like that moment where I was like, ooh, I get to drink alcohol. I'm like, whatever. He's going to give it to me. I'm just going to drink it.
Yeah.
We drank the whole geyser or whatever, Evian bottle, whatever it was. We drank the whole fucking thing.
Did you really?
And we were both like 13 or 14, I think. 13
oh my
or 14.
God.
And got plastered.
I bet.
Drunk. Throwing up all over the place the next day. Had no fucking idea what it was. But that's when I figured out at the time that I could kind of you know, hold my liquor. I think it's because I was a lot bigger than everybody else.
Yeah.
But ever since then, it was like, it would be like a drinking thing where they get to see, oh, who can drink the most. It was always that shit when we were younger. And really? I never liked the taste of it.
Right.
At the time. I just did it because it was like a party trick to like, oh, who can drink the most? And whoever was fucking passed out was a loser. And if you were standing, I was always the last one standing.
Mm.
Nowadays, I can't really hold my liquor very well though.
Interesting. I mean, I think, you know, let me tell you about this. I don't know if you remember the first time we got drunk together.
Which one?
It was on my old show, Going Raw.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was probably one of the most drunk I've ever been in my life, by the way.
So, I don't know if you guys remember.
Shit. I hella forgot about
that. Yeah, because this was before you and me even got close. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I had a show on full screen on their app called Going Raw. And I would bring guests on, we'd interview, and then we'd like play little games or whatever. And there was always a bottle of Hennessy on the table. If guests wanted to drink or not, you know, it was on them, right? But then I was like, yeah, I brought David on. This is before we ever filmed Send Foods or anything. And I just kind of knew you through JK and whatever. And I was like, yeah, I'll bring David on. Let's have a conversation, right? And I remember specifically, I was like, you want to take a shot? And you were like, yeah, sure. And you took the first shot and you went, oh, that's real.
Yeah.
Dude, this is real. And then, so we kept taking shots, right? Like, whenever, like, we kept just pounding shots. When I knew you were down, when I realized you were actually down, because not a lot of people are down like that, yeah. Right? So when I knew you were down, we were going in. And I remember there was a moment where we were kind of, you know, we were getting there. And the producer, off camera, they would always send me little notes like, oh, wrap it up, or like, you know, oh, you got 10 minutes, whatever, whatever. She had on her little whiteboard, she wrote down, this is the last shot. And I looked at it, and I looked at her, and I went, no. And we kept drinking. And then that day, they had to have somebody like drive my, they drove me home because I was gone.
I got picked up by a Tesla.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I got dropped off to the apartment. I just remember this part. So I live at the time in a condo. And so you have to go up the stairs. And then the bottom level is all the garages. And the up top level is where the door is. Mm. So I was going to my garage. But on the far end where the stairs are, my unit was all the way at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand how drunk I was, where I zigzagged throughout the whole thing and I touched every garage.
Like the fucking Titanic.
Yeah. Like it was the Titanic. And I just touched every fucking garage back and forth. And I don't remember much of it at all. We drank so fucking much.
Yeah. Yeah. I just remember being like, oh, David's down. You know, David's down to drink. I didn't know. And then Rick, I think later on, Rick was like, oh, yeah. No, you could tell David is down, because as soon as he took that first shot and he realized it was real, you saw the excitement in his face. His face lit up like, oh, this is real. We drinking.
Yeah, because a lot of people, I don't think they, you know what it is too? When they're on a public platform, they're afraid of what they're going to say. So drinking isn't one of those things that they want to do.
Right.
Because they're scared they might say too much, or they might fuck up their promo or whatever. I never care.
Yeah.
So just like, it is what it is. And I start drinking. The other time that we got smashed, it was at that really good fucking food event in LA.
Were you talking about the one in
the truffle pasta?
Oh yes, the bougie one.
The bougie ass one.
Oh yes.
I drank way too much.
I was not only did I drink way too much, so I think this might be, if you guys are gonna watch the Send Foods episode, this is the first bougie one we went to, and this is when it was still on my channel, not Thrillist. I want to say this was like episode, just look up like LA something, like Los Angeles, like LA Times, bougie something. I forget. But it was first of all, the food was fire.
So fucking good.
The fucking gnocchi with the truffles on top. Mm.
So good. There was like empanadas there.
Yes.
So fucking good. The risotto, fried risotto balls.
Mm.
Super fucking good. It's been that long and I still remember the food. That's how good it was.
It was so bomb. How did we even get that drunk? Oh yeah, there were cocktails and stuff too.
All over the place.
Oh, and there was like a mezcal cocktail. Oh yes, 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 yes. Yes, we got very drunk. Not only were we super drunk, but I also remember being so full, bro. Yeah, give lick that shit. I remember being so full going home that night, and for like an hour being on the ground going, oh. rubbing my belly because I was so full, but it was so good.
Chia sent me a clip of you moaning on the fucking floor, dying. Like, just because you were in so much pain.
Yeah.
I was so full and drunk, I decided to do like a 2 mile walk, but I was so plastered, I fucking fell into a bush.
Ah, that's bush night.
Yeah, I fell into a fucking bush. I couldn't get out. I was scraped up all over.
Yeah.
That turnt.
Yes.
Was I.
You know, and
some of the best moments.
I had to have drank a lot because, you know, I have a pretty high tolerance.
Oh, high tolerance. Disgustingly high, actually.
Yeah.
And you don't turn red.
I don't turn red.
Yeah.
No, no, I don't. Well, you know, like, praise God for that. I don't turn red. You know.
Praise God for my sins.
Yeah, praise God for giving, blessing me with the ability to sin a little more. I tell people I have a super high tolerance because when I started touring, like doing all these YouTube shows across the country or whatever, right? I would always end up in smaller cities, right? Like Des Moines or fucking, I don't know, Oshkosh, Wisconsin, or whatever, right? I've actually never been there. I'd love to go there. I shout it out all the time just because it's funny, but I've never been there. But so you go to these smaller cities, fucking Jacksonville, Florida, whatever, whatever, and everybody always wants to show you how they do. Mm-hmm. We got to show you how we do it in the Midwest. We got to show you how we get down in Jacksonville, Florida.
Why is it always like that, too? It's like, oh, you from L.A.? Oh, you don't know how to drink?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's like, why? Everybody knows how to drink.
So I kind of had to get used to just pounding shots from different people if I didn't want to just be completely plastered. You know what I'm saying? So I think over the couple years of really just clubbing like every week after shows or whatever, whatever, doing all these like gigs in different cities, I built this tolerance. And for sure, there were nights where I blacked out. I woke up, didn't remember what happened last night, didn't remember who I did what to.
You don't get scared drinking at those shows? I get fucking scared.
How so?
Because I'm afraid somebody's going to do some shit to me.
Well, I mean, I'm rarely alone at that shit. Mm. You know, like for the first probably like year, I was with Rick, and Rick was like my hype man.
Oh, okay.
And Rick would usually be with me.
By myself, so I get scared.
Not going to lie, there were times where I would be by myself, but like, I don't know, man. I was just out there just doing my thing. You know what I'm saying?
Being a little scoundrel.
Being a scoundrel.
You scoundrel.
I mean, remember that one time, and we've talked about this on your podcast before, where I was in, yeah, I think it was fucking Des Moines, where I went to go drink with Stupid Young and his peoples. And this is when we didn't have a beef, but there was like a weird situation between us.
It was a misunderstanding.
A misunderstanding. And then he was like, yo, or I don't know, I forget who reached out and was like, yo, you in Des Moines right now? All right, pull up. And I was like, pull up, I'm with my peoples. And in my head, I was like, okay, this could go one of two ways, right?
I advised him not to go too, by the way. I was like, this is not a good idea whatsoever. This is how like a fucking horror movie starts.
If you want to hear the full story, go watch my interview on the Genius Brain podcast. But basically, you know, Stupid Young, you know, me and him had like a misunderstanding, but then we had basically squashed it. And he was like, all right, yo, I'm with my peoples, you know, come say what's up. So I Ubered by myself to where his peoples were at. And it was like, it was either going to be, yes, we're going to like have fun and turn up, or I'm walking into a
trap.
You're
going to die. You're going to fucking die.
Needless to say, I didn't die. I just turned up with his peoples. It was a good time. You know what I'm saying? Just taking a bunch of fucking shots of Hennessy in the middle of Des Moines. It was great.
See, you shouldn't be doing like stuff like that. I don't agree that you should live life like that at all. I just don't agree with it.
look. Here's the thing, right? Yes. There was a potential situation that could have been bad. But also, I ain't no bitch.
I'm a bitch. Absolutely not, dude. There's some funny stuff that happened. We talked about this on a JK News where I think we talked about it a couple times on JK News, but there's a story where, was it in Iowa too, where we had the parihuela, the really good.
The parihuela, yes, that was in Iowa, yes.
That's right, it was in Iowa, it was snowing as fuck.
And that delicious, authentic Peruvian restaurant in the middle of Des Moines, Iowa. Ah, yes, you're going to tell this story of the bar fight.
Well, let me tell you something, I'll tell it halfway, he can tell the rest.
Yeah.
But basically, we almost got into a fucking bar fight.
Look. And if you guys are subscribed to both of our podcasts, you've heard the story before, but if you're a new listener, then you haven't, and we're going to tell you about it again, goddammit. First of all, before we get into the fight, let's talk about how delicious this Peruvian food was, because...
Oh, so good in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Fire.
In a snowstorm.
Bomb. And like, I was like, this doesn't make sense. We were just leaving the fucking bacon festival, so we were like, we need something delicious, right? Yeah. And for whatever reason, we got recommended this Peruvian restaurant, and
right across from the bar.
Yes, yes, yes. So we got some. What's that beef dish?
Lomo saltado.
Yes, we got some of that, and then I saw this like parihuela on the menu, and I was like, I want to see what this is about.
It's like Peruvian chipino.
And it was so good, and we'll tell you all about it right after this break. Hey guys, this episode of Dudes Behind the Foods is brought to you by GoodyBrand.com. Tim here, just popping in to remind you that what's a better Christmas gift than some fly-ass clothes? I mean, GoodyBrand.com, we got new hats. Count your blessings. We got beanies. We got new flannels. We got all types of new gear. So go to goodybrand.com and check it out.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey y'all, it's Tim.
And David.
And if you want to listen to Dudes Behind the Foods without ads, now you can.
Just go to dudesbehindthefoods.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a 1 week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting our show too.
That's dudesbehindthefoods.supercast.com. Thanks.
And we're back. Okay, so delicious. So this parihuela dish, I had never had it before, and I've had it at other places, and even when I Google it, the broth is a little more like watery, you know.
This one was creamy.
This was like creamy, thick. Oh, and I think about it all the time actually because it was so good,
fucking good. There's one place out in Glendale that does it kind of similar, and it's one of my favorite Peruvian restaurants, Mamita's Peruvian out in Glendale. Super fucking good.
Okay,
but that place was amazing. And by the way, this lady is like Peruvian as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Super Peruvian. Did not expect. I was like, what? How do you go from one of the hottest places on earth to one of the coldest places on earth?
Yes.
But that restaurant, super fucking fire. I wish I remember the name.
I wish I remember the name too. Here, I'm gonna look it up. They deserve to be shouted out because people should know what this place is called. Here, you begin the story, and I'm gonna look up what this place is called.
Okay, so we're basically at this bar, and typically whenever there's downtime in between shoots, we want to figure out what the fuck we can do. So there weren't many bars, and by the way, at this time a snowstorm was a brewing. There was snow everywhere. It was snowpocalypse. So we go into this bar, and it looks like a bar from a scene where you know shit's about to go down, and no, not a lot of
Panka
baby.
Peruvian restaurant in Des Moines, Iowa. Fucking fire.
Closed because of COVID.
Actually, well, it's closed now.
Okay, thank God.
But it opens at 5 p.m.
Fucking delicious. So we're at this bar, and it looks as seedy as you can get.
Well, it was just a small local, you know, like one of those bars where you know everybody. You know, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, you know?
Bada bada bum bum.
And they're always glad you came, you know?
Did you watch that show growing up?
Cheers? I love Cheers.
I fucking love Cheers too. Not a lot of people watched it.
Mean, yeah, I know. Wow, did we just become best friends again?
Let's fucking make out, bro.
Yes. It was one of those small bars where, you know, everybody just kind of, it's like locals and regulars. And we went in, we're like, we had an hour wait for our table. Let's go in, grab a drink, and wait.
Very nice place, nice people. But it looks like if I walked in, if they said, we don't like your kind around here, I'd be like, makes sense.
Yeah.
And I would walk out. But drinks are super cheap there compared to LA. I think for a shot, it was like a shot of Jameson or Jack was like $3.
It was ridiculous.
It was something ridiculous. And we just kept drinking or whatever. But there's this other table across from us from where we were sitting that was getting a little rowdy.
Yeah.
A little loud. But of course, as you guys know, in every single trope in Sen Foods, who gets recognized the most? Timothy Chantabalalongsu. So one of the ladies recognizes Tim and wants a photo with Tim.
Yeah.
Take it away.
Okay, so this lovely young lady came up to me. She was a fan. She wanted to take a picture. I said, sure, let's take a photo, right? Shortly after that, I thought, yeah, it is what it is. And then we kind of see, you know, let me think about the timeline of this. So I remember maybe there was a dude in that group who was maybe it seemed like he had an issue with her coming over to me and taking a picture.
Maybe.
Okay, so he was kind of, his vibe was weird. All right, it was he was a big tall and big, like big burly, like native dude,
bigger than me, by the way.
Yeah. Big Native American dude, long hair, and he seemed to be like causing an issue with whatever was going down, right? So then later on, a big older black dude in the group walks over to us, and then he's talking to me. David thought he was trying to start some shit, but he was actually kind of apologizing for his friend and being like, hey man, look, you know his girl, you know, he got a little jealous, his girl was taking a picture with you, whatever. I'm like, nah, it's cool, blah blah blah. We start talking to this guy's a nice guy, right?
He's actually from LA too.
Yeah,
originally
he had a 213, no, you had a 213 jacket on.
Yeah.
And so he kind of was talking about, yeah, I'm from LA, blah blah blah. We start talking or whatever, right? So later on, they're like, yo, let's get a group picture, you know what I'm saying? And this dude, the native dude, was obviously still drunk and salty about his girl recognizing me wanting a picture.
Talk about a stereotype. The drunk native guy. I was like, this is a very bad look for the people.
Look, man, they've been through a lot.
I know, but I'm saying it was a bad look. I was like, dog, don't do this, man.
So while we're taking the picture, this man puts his giant hand on my head.
Humongous.
Grabs my head. He's like, boy, during the picture, he's like, you're little. You're so little. And he grabs my head, and literally in the picture, I'm like this. Because I'm like, I feel this dude grab my whole head.
So by the way, when that shit happened, Priscilla looked at me and I started getting pissed because I don't like that.
Right.
I don't like it when people just go up and grab you and touch you.
Yeah.
Right. And like me or a friend or whatever. And I started visibly getting pissed. Mm. Right. And I'm like, is this guy trying to get fucked up? What the fuck is wrong with this guy? But then we also have to know we're not from this town. We're vastly outnumbered, so I'm just boiling.
Right.
You know, and this guy literally grabs his head and just starts jostling it around. I'm like, you better get your fucking hands off him. But Tim's also an extremely nice guy.
Yeah.
People will come up and they will surpass what they should do when it comes to people's boundaries.
Right.
And he'll just be okay with it. And I'm like, Tim, you're really not. Because I'm the guy that'll be like, hey, you just spit in my mouth. What are you doing?
Well,
you
know? I'm definitely like, I will take into consideration this man is drunk.
Yes.
He's jealous. But at the same time, while I'm taking these things into consideration, I'm looking around the bar for things I might have to hit him with. I'm like, I will have to hit this man with a bar stool if necessary because I'm little. Mm-hmm. So there are certain things I got to do.
And I was little compared to him too.
So I'm like, I got to break this bottle or something, you know what I'm saying? But I'm keeping that in the back of my mind. But we basically, you know, we go to our little corner. We're just drinking, doing our thing until we kind of hear murmurs, and in our periffs we see you can tell this couple's arguing, and so this dude, the native dude, took his girl's face and mushed her face and pushed her by the face.
Dude, when we say mushed and shoved, it was a hard ass. He might as well just socked her in the face.
Yeah,
it was harsh.
And when I say, and look, are you talking about a record screech moment? Like the fucking everybody in the bar, his whole crew was like stopped, like his girl's homegirl was like, yo, what the fuck? She got pissed, right? It was like the whole fucking music stopped in the bar, and we were like, all right, let's get the fuck out of here. let's go check out our table.
That dude was fucking nuts. And it got to that really uncomfortable moment too, where like a damsel, I had to take off my gloves one finger at a time. I was like, oh, shit's about to go down.
Yeah.
And then we kind of were just like scoping around, like, okay, there's 5 or 6 people. We're only 2, and then we have Priscilla, which I believe Priscilla would have taken 3 of them down either way. Priscilla was fucking crazy. And we were just sitting there like, okay, what the fuck are we going to do? Do I have to grab a chair? I need to have my back against the wall because I don't want people to hit me from behind.
Right.
But lo and behold, that guy, it was just that guy just being a fucking asshole. And he literally assaulted his girlfriend in the bar. It was crazy. I only see stuff like this in the movies.
Yeah. You know, luckily everybody in his clique kind of reprimanded him for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, was like, yo, that's not cool. And then we were like, okay, let's go. Because
and then we had the best meal of our fucking lives.
Amazing.
So if you guys never had Peruvian food is an example of like true fusion. You'll see a Chinese influence in there in the food.
Right.
You know, it's all these weird stuff. Like you'll even see pasta. They have like this I forgot the name of it, but they have this green pasta that I always see at every single Peruvian restaurant. It's usually served with like a side of steak or some type of protein. And then one of my favorite dishes is lomo saltado. And if you see lomo saltado, it's steak pieces, whatever steak choices that you like. Typically, they'll serve it with ribeye if they know what they're doing. If they know what they're doing. Ribeye, and it's fries, and it's stir fried in soy sauce, like Maggi soy sauce.
The good stuff.
Yup. Garlic, tomato, onions. And it's fucking delicious, man. Yeah. And that is why I love Peruvian food. It has all these familiar flavors that I really like, but it's done in a completely different way. And fusion food is so interesting because sometimes when people do fusion, they just kind of smash two things together and they don't make something new. Peruvian food is my personal feeling of like one of the most perfect cuisines when it comes to fusing two
cultures.
Like
a natural evolution of shit that just happened.
Hell fucking yeah.
You know what I'd be really curious to try? Is sushi in Brazil. Because, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but did you know that the largest population of Japanese people outside of Japan is in Brazil?
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Something to do with after the bombings, a bunch of Japanese people.
So casual. The bombings.
After those silly old bombings, a bunch of Japanese people just migrated everywhere. And I don't know exactly why, but for some reason, a big amount of them wound up in Brazil. And
really?
To this day, you know, it's the largest population of Japanese people outside of Brazil. And I tell you this, after 6 years of college, that's the only information I retained, is that one fact.
Nothing else but that one fucking thing.
Well, and that that pre-cum can only get you pregnant if you don't pee in between jizz sessions.
You know, you're the one who taught me that. And I gotta tell you, changed the game.
I mean, it definitely makes you feel a little better, yeah.
Literally changed the fucking game.
Yeah, it's important to know.
It is super important, fellas. So remember, do not wrap your tool. Just pee in between, and you'll be completely fine.
Well, if you're worried about babies, not STDs.
STDs don't exist, guys. It doesn't fucking exist. Oh, if we're talking about sushi, I'm sick and tired of this fucking sugarfish slander. How about we...
Please! Can we talk about this? Okay, so if y'all aren't aware, there is a sushi place, and it's a chain now, in L.A. specifically, but it's beginning to branch off a little bit, but it's mainly L.A. There's one in New York, and it's called Sugarfish, okay? Sugarfish, they don't do fucking, you know, Alaskan rolls and shit. They don't do fancy, like, spider rolls. It's mainly, sashimi and nigiri and some hand rolls of, like, you know, like, I don't know, some scallops or some blue crab or some, you know, whatever, right? I love it. And I enjoy that... it's like just it is what it is. When I first took Chia to Sugarfish, she was expecting like, yo, can I get some miso soup? Can I get some this and this and that? Like what you would normally get at like a sushi place. And I was like, all they got really is the raw shit. And she wasn't down at first. Like she didn't like sashimi at first.
Blasphemy.
Until I took her to Sugarfish and I was like, yo, they got this trust me shit. Just trust them. Order it. And then this was her first time actually trying sashimi. And she was like, oh, this is good.
It's delicious. Here's the thing, too. Like, I understand that there's, like, a certain artisanal thing that people like about sushi, right? Where you have the sushi chef, they fold it, they cook the rice. They actually have it the rice on, like, a machine and a conveyor belt.
Mm.
But they have the flavoring right. The rice comes out, like, human body temperature warm. Mm-hmm. And you have... It's good for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And not even just good for what it is. There are other sushi restaurants, too, that have a sushi chef, and it's still not as good as Sugarfish.
Yes.
Right? You might be comparing it to some other places that are really well-known. And, of course, there's, you know, in my personal opinion, are better.
Mm-hmm.
But there are regular sushi restaurants. I'm not shitting on my own people. Mm. A lot of Korean sushi restaurants that don't do it as well as Sugarfish does. Right? And I think it's a really good introduction for people who want to go away from just the California roll or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a good transitioning spot.
I think so.
And I think the flavoring of their rice is like a little sweeter than what most people would probably enjoy. It's less vinegary, but I think that palate works for people who are transitioning in between.
Yeah.
Betwinst. But Sugarfish is fucking fire. And by the way, their to-go packaging, fucking amazing.
Oh, it's so nice. The little box and the little like wet nap.
Yeah.
You know, look, I've been running into the occasional couple people here and there.
Die.
Huh?
They should die.
No, he shouldn't die. He's a nice guy. Michael Ferrari in Houston, what's up, man? He's probably listening to this because he enjoys this podcast.
Okay, well, die.
and look, he's very, you know, He's telling me that, you know, he's going to take me to some fire omakase spots in Dallas or Houston or whatever. And I believe that it's probably fire. But, hey, fuck you, dog. Sugarfish is fire. And to be fair, one of the best sushi places we've been to is in fucking Houston, Texas.
Amazing.
It was bomb. Did we talk about this already?
So, did you know the second biggest population is Japanese people? Is it Houston, Texas?
Hey, actually, there's a shitload of Asians in Houston.
Dude, I know. And by the way, I am a taken man now.
Yeah.
But may I observe, the Asian women in Texas, quite thick.
I will co-sign this. I'll tell you what. My event, so Michael Ferrari, who we're talking about.
Sounds like a fake ass name, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's a nickname.
Okay.
It's Michael Lee.
Okay.
he is one of the first people to, he is the first person to book me for these club events in Houston, Dallas, whatever. Mm. And yes, I was also taken when I went. But when I tell you, he booked me and Danny Rail at our first ever event together at a club. And when I tell you, this is, Dallas was the city from all my club events where there were the most beautiful Asian women throwing it at me, bro. Like, I was looking around at the girls that were flirting with me, and I was like, you're giving me hints like you're down to have sex tonight, and you're beautiful, and there was a lot of them that were, and I'm looking like...
They were treating you like you were Justin Bieber's.
It was kind of crazy. And they were very attractive.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, we're going to cut to a break real quick, you guys, and we'll be right back.
Hey guys, Tim here again. For those of y'all who really enjoy my music, I know I got tracks all over the place, right? I got songs under Traffic, under Timothy De La Ghetto, under Tim Chantharongsu. So I went and did a little something and put a whole bunch of my best tracks under one Spotify playlist so you can just stream it in one go, like a best of situation, all right? So hey, there you go. Link in the description if you want to check that out. Thanks, guys. Back to the show.
Okay, so I would love to go to Brazil and see what's good with the Brazilian sushi spots.
The thickest Japanese women you will ever see in your life.
My God.
Arigato.
Arigato, and however you say thank you in Portuguese, because, ugh.
Arasankyu.
But I'm sure there's so many.
His dream would come true. Okay, this guy loves thick Japanese women. This sick fuck over here, dude.
Hey, first of all, you right. Second of all, I love thick women's, period, okay? But let me say this. I love thin women's too, okay?
Okay, let me just tell you something. When he says thick, by the way, there's do you guys consider peanut butter thick? That's pretty thick, right? This man likes concrete.
No.
Mixture thick.
There's a difference between, okay, look. There's a difference between thick and a big girl, a BBW, a big woman. I like them thick, but I also enjoy big women. I like an obese woman too.
They literally look like they're on the verge of death.
No. First of all.
And they're very beautiful, by the way. But I'm just saying from a scientific standpoint, my goodness.
He's talking about, okay, look.
And look, they're. Objectively speaking, I guess not objective, it's subjective because of my opinion.
Yeah.
Very pretty. Very beautiful.
Yeah.
However, those women would kill you. They would literally kill you.
Look, David, so. And mind you, yes, of course, I've been with Chia for 10 years. But in my canoodling days, I was open to all types of situations. And
when he says all types, by the way. A lot of people out there say that I think everybody's beautiful. No, you don't. No, you absolutely don't. This man here can find the beauty in just about anything. His preference is that they are women and they are down.
And that they are pretty.
Oh, they are very pretty.
Look, I have and you know, and we talked about this on a previous episode of Dudes Behind the Foods. I'll say this, look. The same way that I love to try all kinds of food. When I was single and the world was my
oyster,
hometown buffet.
Oh, we're going a little less classy. I got it.
Well, the world was my bacchanal.
Bacchanal fire. I like
bacchanal
that.
Bacchanal buffet in Caesar's Palace. I wanted to try everything, you know, whether it was the light vegan or the heavy fried BBW piece of chicken.
He sent me some BBW porn once, and I was thoroughly shocked. I was like, my word. What in God's name is this? Like, I understand. Whatever floats your boat. However, shocking. I've never actually hooked up with the girl who was larger.
Really?
Because I'm fat already.
Mm.
There can only be one BBW in the fucking.
There can only be one.
There cannot be two. There's too much shit to move around. One person has to be tiny. One person has to be big.
And that's the thing. That's what's great. I'm tiny. So there's only I only have to move her bits around.
Yeah, one false move and you're dead though. Like if she just slips and lands on your legs, paralyzed.
She's not jumping on me, David.
Oh, you whatever you like. I don't know what you like, but you like some weird shit.
You know, weird is subjective, David, so.
In this case, it's not.
I just want everybody to, I just love everybody.
When did you start realizing that you were into thicker women? Like not even thick. This thick is, I like thick.
I just, you know, I'm just such a fan of just like jiggly butts. I think I got to a point where I was like, wow, this is a very jiggly butt, and I'm down for everything attached to the jiggly butt, you know?
I think it's very intimidating.
Why?
like thicker women intimidate me.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know when a guy will sometimes look at a girl who's very voluptuous and they go, you don't know what I'd do with that. You know what I say in my head? I was like, I don't know what I do. I literally don't know what I do. I remember the first time I hooked up with a girl and she was like curvy in all the right places.
Yeah.
I was just so amazed. I'm like, look at this. There's so much to grab.
Mm-hmm.
This is fantastic.
It's pretty great.
It was not, but it was a little intimidating because I'm like, what do I do with all this curves?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Let me tell you guys something real quick, too.
She probably had the worst time, but.
Let me tell you this. Sometimes, like a girl with a big old booty or a BBW, and you know, and I've said, you know, in my past videos for however long, like I'm not big, in as far as my penis size, and so people will be like, he can't reach, blah blah blah, which is silly, because really all you got to do is lift the cheeks a bit and separate, and you're in there, and you're good to go.
Oh, you're like Moses in the Red Sea. You just hit your staff, boom,
and then the cheeks separate, and you're good to go.
I just confused Moses with Gandalf from Lord of the Rings.
You shall not pass, Jews. I don't have.
Oh, this is historically inaccurate, I believe. But
yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers to you, bro.
Well, guys, that wraps up this episode of Dudes Behind the Foods.
Sure, we can wrap it up if you want.
Yeah.
I think that's a good note.
That's a good fucking note, man. Some historical inaccuracies with the Bible.
Yeah. Moses. No. Yeah. Hey, no, this is a great episode. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for enjoying. Make sure you like it. 5 stars on iTunes, whatever.
Share it with all your friends. It's about foods, fun, and laughter, and great memories.
Hey, beautiful. Cheers to you. I love you, bro.
I love you too, man.
You are my BBM, dude. My big, beautiful man.
Okay. See you guys next time.
Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.